Please be seated. Today we're going to do something really bold. We're going to deviate a little bit from the lectionary, and rather than read the section from Acts, I'm going to read the 23rd Psalm on this Good Shepherd Sunday. And this, the words of the 23rd Psalm, you'll notice, will pop up throughout our service, and they already have. But let's read the 23rd Psalm from beginning to end. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our gospel lesson this Good Shepherd Sunday is from John 10, chapter 10, verses 11 to 18. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You know, if you're familiar at all with the Bible, you can't read this passage from John 10, where Jesus describes himself as the Good Shepherd, without thinking of Psalm 23, where King David declared, "The Lord is my shepherd." But there's a big difference between these two passages. In Psalm 23, the voice is King David's. A mere man's voice, a man who, despite his stellar reputation and greatness among men, proved himself to be fallible in every way. In John 10, on the other hand, the voice is not David's voice, but Jesus' voice, the voice of the spotless, perfect Lamb of God, the Lamb of God who is, at the same time, the Good Shepherd, who lays down his life for the sheep. Here's why recognizing the difference between David and Jesus is important. In Psalm 23, the voice of David, the voice of a man, proclaims, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." But the truth is, David did want. He wanted Bathsheba, another man's wife. So he took her and killed her husband, who had been a friend of his, because he thought he could get away with it. He wanted to have whatever his heart desired. And according to God's word, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Read Jeremiah 17:9. The 23rd Psalm continues, "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters." But no matter how green my pasture is, the next one over is always greener. And those still waters sound soothing, what I really want is a little more excitement. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his namesake. And whenever he does lead me in paths of righteousness, I want you to hear about it. And not for his namesake, but for mine. Because it makes me look good. And I like that. It's my unrighteousness that I'll never tell you about. "I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." That sounds good, but the truth is, I do fear the future. And even beyond that, I want to control my future. I even want to control the future of my grown children and my little grandchildren. There are certain things that I want to happen in my life when I look toward my future. There are certain things that I want to happen in the lives of my children. And if I'm perfectly honest, I don't want anybody else's rod and staff guiding me down a path that I didn't choose. For example, I don't want any debilitating illness or untimely death in my future or my family's future. And I want to have enough money to do what I want to do. I want my kids to be healthy and successful in their endeavors. And frankly, I'd much rather be calling the shots myself and determining the future myself. And that's the funny, sad part. Because when we try to wrest authority from God and call the shots ourselves and do what we want without a care for what God desires, we always make a royal mess of it. All of us. When David was in his 20s and was being chased around the desert by King Saul, who wanted to kill him, David was desperate and afraid. And at that point in his life, the Lord was his shepherd. But 30 years later, when he was wealthy and powerful, he rejected God's guidance and became his own shepherd. And all hell broke loose. Just a year and a half ago, we had my former seminary professor, Chad Bird, come and speak here at Christ the Vine. He's a brilliant guy who was recruited to teach at the seminary at age 31. At a young age, he had a prestigious career. Before he even completed his PhD in Hebrew, he had a book contract, and he was revered by the students he taught, and he had a beautiful family. And he threw it all away in a story like King David's. The consequences of his self-centered sinfulness were disastrous. He lost his career, he lost his coveted book contract, and he lost his beautiful family. And yet, Jesus the shepherd did not abandon him. The good shepherd searched and found him and brought him home. After his disastrous and very public failure, Chad Bird wrote this. "One of the most remarkable features of the biblical narrative, and one of the most instructive, is that no attempt is made to clean up the embarrassing episodes from the lives of God's people. In fact, in the line strung from Genesis to Revelation, There's an awful lot of dirty laundry hanging there for the whole world to see. Here's why, Bird writes. Imagine a very different Bible, rewritten so the failures of God's people are expunged from the record. So Adam and Eve didn't spit out God's command and didn't devour the forbidden fruit. And Noah didn't get wasted on wine and pass out in his tent. And Joseph's brothers didn't stab him in the back and sell him into slavery. And Judah didn't hire his daughter-in-law as a prostitute and impregnate her. And Aaron didn't mold the idolatrous calf. And David didn't bed Bathsheba and knock off her husband. Imagine if all those stories were edited out of the Bible. What message would that send? It would send the same message about the people in the Bible that we want to send about ourselves. That the spiritual life is about us being strong, not weak, being victorious, not defeated, standing tall, not humbled low. But that's not reality, and it never has been. Reality is that for all of us, our spiritual lives are stained with failure. A common problem among us, the sheep, is that we wear masks. A mask of strength to cover our weakness. A mask of fidelity to cover our unfaithfulness. We wear a mask of bold assertions to cover our doubts. We wear a mask of humility to cover our pride. But our masks and our phoniness destroy us and destroy our relationships with God and with one another. So here's some great news for us, the sheep. In the presence of the Good Shepherd, we can take off our masks. We can quit pretending. Masks don't hide anything from God anyway, because Jesus, the Good Shepherd, knows you, his sheep. In fact, he knows everything about you. He knows your fears and your desires. He knows your weaknesses and your failures. He knows the thoughts that you've never dared express verbally. And even though he knows you intimately, warts and all, he loves you unconditionally. And in the words of the absolution that we heard earlier this morning, and in his body and blood, somehow in the bread and wine that we'll experience in a few minutes from now, in those words and elements, the Good Shepherd communicates his love for you. He forgives you and even gives you his own righteousness. The reason we call this Good Shepherd Sunday is because the Good Shepherd has laid down his life for you. His suffering and death on a cross atones for your sin. And his final words on the cross, "It is finished," guarantee that his work for you is finished indeed. So you can be at peace. You're forgiven. Your guilt covered up with the imputed righteousness of Christ. Christ the Good Shepherd. His righteousness credited to you. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, on this Good Shepherd Sunday, help us to bathe in your love. and luxuriate in your forgiveness. Lord, above all, help us to be filled with gratitude for what you have done for us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.